Well, good morning, everyone. Sorry for our interruption this morning, coming in a little late. We were just a little delayed with the rain on the way down, but it is so good to be able to be with you and to be able to minister the word of God. You can turn, if you would, to the book, in Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to talk briefly about a very familiar man. And as you're turning there, I want to read for you a verse that I was reminded of this morning as we were driving in. My oldest boy, Benjamin, and his family are with us, kind enough to drive us down into this great big metropolis. Those little East Coasters are not used to this kind of stuff. And so we were chatting on the way in, and he reminded me of a verse I'm about to read for you, coming from the New Testament. You're thinking about Elijah, and of course you think I'm going to read. I think it is in James, where it says he is a man of light passions. I'm not going to read that verse, but I'm going to read a verse that I think was maybe not in Elijah's vocabulary, but certainly in his experience. Listen as we read the precious word of God speaking to us in this great dispensation of grace, seeing then that we have a great high priest. We've been thinking a little bit about his greatness in this meeting this morning, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Here is the verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we would often say, well, great is the need today. Well, certainly great was the need yesterday too, wasn't it? And the week before, and the time before that. But we have this one, this great high priest. Now, the high priest, as you will remember, represented the interests of the people to God. The prophet, Elijah, being one of them, would represent the interests of God to the people. We have one who represents our interests into the very presence of God. And now it is said, come boldly. In our day and age, we have lots of boldness. We have lots of people who say things and do things and behave in manners that is very, really not that unrestricted, is it? That's not what this means. It means you can come confidently. Was it Fanny Crosby who wrote that great song that I've been listening to lately? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Well, with those thoughts in our minds, as you're in 1 Kings chapter 17, we're not going to be able to read all of this story. It's a very familiar story. We sometimes would say, in the culture at least that I grew up in, this is a Sunday school story. Well, it's an actual historical event. We teach it to our children, yes, and God teaches us this, of course, as adults as well. And it's going to speak of this man in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. This man, Elijah the Tishbite, it seems, just comes onto the scene of God, or the scene of the world. And he boldly and confidently steps into the environment that is very unfamiliar to him, and it is the environment of a king. And on the authority of the word of God, we could go back and find in places in Deuteronomy and other places where the Lord said, if you don't wrest the land, he said, the rain will come away. If you don't do things, he said, the rain will stop. And Elijah, knowing the word of God, would come in and he would say this unto Ahab as he comes in. Elijah the Tishbite, verse 1, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Notice that Elijah says he stood before God. I wish that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And my suggestion to you this morning, or I believe as the Word of God presents to us in the Word of God this morning, that before we can stand before men to represent God, we have to stand before God. There is this great privilege that we have to be able to come boldly into the presence of the God of heaven, to make bare our needs, our supplications, our thanksgivings, our praise, our worship, our adoration, and to there have this confidence that we are accepted in Him and by Him. Now, I'm sure I heard somebody say that. I'm sure of it. Somebody must stand, or in your heart, you stand up and you say, what a great truth is that? Amen. So be it. May it be so in our lives. But how often does the individual before you, I can only speak for myself, you speak for yourself, do we not avail ourselves of the reality of being able to have access into the very presence of our great high priest? Well, Elijah did, and as we want to just briefly look through his life, a synopsis of one chapter in the Word of God of his life, we will see some great things, and we're going to look at it under the headings, if we get them all done, of three B's. I don't necessarily use B and try to make it all match together, but it's good for my memory. Maybe it'll be good for yours if you jot things down. First of all, in Elijah's life after this incident, there's a brook. Of course, we know water runs down a brook, and there's lots of interesting things to do. When you're a child and around a brook, as I was and my children were, there's lots of neat things going on. There's a brook happening in Elijah's life. And then there is going to be a barrel, which is really a quite interesting experience in his life. And then lastly, if we get there, there's going to be a boy later on in the chapter. Let's read about the brook. We're going to pick it up in verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that is unto Elijah. Remember, he stood before Ahab, the king of Israel, and he would present the fact that there will be, you might say, really judgment. There will be a definite time period when it will not rain. And the word of the Lord came to him again, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you or thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And we're going to pause there for a moment. We just want to kind of grasp ourselves a little picture of what's going on. Ben and I, my son, we've been chatting the last couple of days about the mountaintop experience, right, in our Christian lives, and the valley. And it's really, in many physical, practical ways, to live on the mountaintop all the time, isn't it? We spend a lot of our time, if not the majority of our time, in the valley. And sometimes we reference it the valley. That's where the difficulties are. That's where the stretching is, right? That's where the growing is. And we grow and we proceed up the mountain. The more we are encouraged by the Spirit of God, and the more that we grow in the Lord Jesus, and the greater we come to know Him. And this is where Moses found the Lord, wasn't up on the mountain. But then again, it seems we, I don't know if it's digression or it's just the Lord working with us, we're back in the valley. Elijah had just had a mountaintop experience. What was it like? Are you familiar with that in your own life, where there seems to be victory There's this moving forward, and there's this great enjoyment of the Lord. I mean, what was it like for Elijah to stand before Ahab and to be able to declare, basically, thus says the Lord, representing God? We sometimes think in our culture then, well, there'd be great reward, wouldn't there? Well, God says, you clear out, basically. No accolades, no crowds. Seems to be Elijah's experience. You'll find the same thing after another mountaintop experience in Carmel. But now he runs for fear of a woman. But now at this point, he moves at the commandment of God to a simple place called Cherith, and by a brook. You know, God has a way, it seems, if you go through the scriptures and do look at individuals, you can look at Abraham, he was taken from home. Moses was taken up the mountain. David was a keeper of the sheep. He was the one they didn't find with all his brothers. Remember when Samuel came, he had to go out and get him from keeping the sheep. God has a way of removing his man or his woman and putting them into the, you might say, the school of Christ, the training of the man. Sometimes in my consideration of this passage, I'll say the making of the man. Getting alone with God. Well, what does God do with Elijah by the brook? Well, first of all, he says, you're going to be hidden away. Interesting choice of words here the translators use, at least. Hide thyself. You know, one of the biggest problems we have as believers is ourselves. A tough one to deal with, isn't it, yourself? And it doesn't matter where you go, there you are. You can't escape yourself. Very interesting is, I think it was that story. I listened to a preacher years ago, I'm sure, who occupied this platform and maybe was in this place he was preaching when he came out this way, Boyd Nicholson. And he said he got on a plane in Toronto, which was home in that area to him. And as his custom was, he sat in the seat and he waited to see who the Lord was going to have travel with him. And he said, this lady got on and she had his words, forgive me, long talons. And she sat down beside him and he waited for her to speak. And they started a small talk and she said, you're going to Vancouver? Yeah. And he said why he was going. Asked her, you're going to Vancouver, and asked her why, and she said, because it's as far away from Toronto as I can get. I don't know if anybody's from Toronto, but you can't blame somebody for that. He said, oh. Well, he said, you know, there's a problem in Vancouver. She said, really? Yeah. He said, when you get there, you'll be there. Self's a problem, isn't it? But you see, the Lord Jesus has dealt with self. He's dealt with the flesh, hasn't he? We read of that in Romans 6. So the Lord would reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, alive unto God. But Elijah here is told to hide yourself. Someone once said that humility is not thinking little of self. Thinking nothing. Doesn't want a picture. Seems to me that Elijah is a great example for us. Of course, the Lord Jesus being the greatest example of that. As we heard this morning, who being in the form of God, who was God and is God, would become flesh. And by this brook, hidden away from all the things that are going on, by a trickle of water running by, now he's going to see not only the natural way God will provide for his people, but the supernatural. There will be the brook, daily provision from the water of the brook. We needed a drink. Needed to clean up a little bit, needed when you rise in the morning, the refreshing splash of the water over your face. It was all right there, God providing for it. But the food now, the sustenance by this place, that wasn't there. God's not taking care of you. You're moving at my command. You're doing as I ask you. You're following my word. He says, I'll command the ravens to feed you there. Morning and evening, along will come the birds. Brothers and sisters, we have access to come boldly into the presence of God to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And oh, we are in need. Well, the natural, the supernatural, God taking place, man doing what he could do, taking of the brook, God doing what only he could do in sending the ravens. And you might say, well, that must have been a really, really wonderful experience. Well, I expect it was, but it wasn't very glamorous, was it? What do you do all day waiting for the birds? You commune to God of heaven. Remember we said the making of a man. Absolute confidence and dependence. We find there that he drank of the brook. Verse 6 we read. He ate of the bread and the flesh that they brought. Verse 7 we didn't read. And it came to pass after a while. Speaks of time spent. Elijah resting in the promises of God that the brook dried up. What do you do when the brook dries up? You go looking for another one, don't you? When the provision stops here, we start looking. That's what this self does. You start looking around. Maybe even when the brook starts to slow down a little bit, you say, well, this can't be so. What do we read as we read God? The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. It was a shortage of rain. Who had asked when it didn't rain? Well, God had said it wouldn't if these certain conditions existed. Elijah and the promise and the confidence in the word of God presented it to Ahab and said it won't rain. And now he is here in the result of his own conviction of the word of God. You know, sometimes it is hard to live by our convictions, isn't it? Oh, the blessing. Oh, the satisfaction that we find in being able to have that absolute confidence in God. You see, it's not because you feel it. It's because his word says it. And his word is true. Well, the brook dried up. Let's see what Elijah has done. It looks to me that he has not moved, because here it is, and the word of the Lord came to him, verse 8, saying, arise. It's time to move now, Elijah. You've waited, you've trusted, learned. These are some of the lessons he would be learning there. You think God was teaching him? Was he stretching his faith? I've never been stretched very much, but when you take a muscle that hasn't been used very much and you start to do physical things, some of you probably work in these types of fields where you're stretching muscles, and it hurts. But as the muscle is stretched, and if we can liken our faith to a muscle, well, now it begins to do greater things. There's more mobility, there's more duration, there's much greater strength. Elijah was having it stretched. There was work for Elijah to do. Sometimes we need to have our faith stretched. And sometimes the stretching of the faith is to be still and know that I am God. Well, now the Lord comes back to Elijah and he says, okay, it's time to be on the move again. And he's going to send him now to another place. He's going to go to a lady of Zarephath, is it? And this is a place called Zidon, we read in verse 8. and commanded, sorry, let me read the verse, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Notice the movement, the absolute confidence again. God had provided. God was showing himself to be faithful. You know, it's interesting that as we think about faith, and we think about God's faithfulness, the New Testament tells us as believers that it's required of a steward, one who really looks after the interests of others, that a man be found what? Good in business? Is it big IQ? We can go down this list that you know is not what I'm searching for, nor what the Word of God says. Must be found faithful. So that's what God wants again today. And it's really the only thing we can do is to be faithful for what he's asked us to do. Well, Elijah comes to this woman in Zarephath, and he finds her outside the city. Verse number 10, he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now remember, there's a shortage of water in the land. Things are, it hasn't rained for a while in the area. And this is 100 miles away. There would be challenges as well. We're going to see that for this lady. And as she was going to fetch it, we see her movement in response to the word of, you might say, the Lord through the prophet Elijah. He called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she's going to share with Elijah now her situation. Elijah's going to understand now the situation God has brought him to. As the Lord thy God liveth, verse 12, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. And I am gathering, in a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. It looks pretty bleak, isn't it? Yeah. A little oil and a little bit of meal she has, it's going to take two sticks to keep cooking together. And here it is, God asking of her, through Elijah, feed me first. We read what she does in the story. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me there a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, a barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruel of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house, and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Another situation in the making of a man or in the making of a woman, the stretching of faith, now it's going to be really day by day. You ever wonder where the expression maybe scraping the bottom of the barrel comes from? We sometimes think it's not a good thing. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel, the dregs are there. Well, I'll tell you, every day at the bottom of this barrel was life. And there was nourishment. And I expect that the barrel probably had a cover on it, and every day they would come. Now, if you were a man or woman who lacked faith, you didn't bother going over the barrel. You said, I emptied it yesterday. There's nothing there. This widow woman, confidence in the command of God, confident in the God of the Word, would walk over to the barrel, take it off, carry your dish with her, undoubtedly ready to take it from the barrel. come from the cruise of oil and to make provision for their bodies. Now, beloved, we have a God who does much more than provide for us physically. Although he does that, we know that. He wants to provide for us spiritually. He's done it through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus. He has set us free to live for him. He gives us every confidence to be able to step into his very presence, to come with. Remember, we come not only with our supplications, but with our praise, and always with thanksgiving. And it's daily provision. Remember hearing of a woman who was being, the story was being told of her, she had gone to Senegal to be a missionary, and someone said she didn't get Senegal grace in Nova Scotia, which was where she was from. She got grace for living in Senegal when she got to Senegal. We get grace for tomorrow when? Tomorrow. But thank God there's grace for today. And there was a brook. There was a faithful man by the brook. And there was a barrel. And there was a faithful man by the barrel. But beloved, in the midst of it all, it was a God who is never failing. He always faithful. And we can say this morning, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May these few thoughts encourage you. Look on, if you aren't familiar with the story, even if you are, read on with the boy. There will be life from the dead. What a great blessing and encouragement must have been for this man Elijah and for those who worked around. Shall I close in prayer? Father, we bow in your presence. And we acknowledge, as the hymn writer has penned those wonderful words, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And so, Father, this morning, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we express our thanksgiving, our praise, and our worship that has and will extend unto you through our remembrance of your Son, to the one who alone is worthy. Our Father, we look forward to the day when faith will give way or be added to sight, the same will be added to it, that we shall ever be with the Lord. Until that day, may we ever be faithful, that on that day we may hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We thank you, Father, for your word and for your people. We give you thanks in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.